and be gone, leaving me in a space of hopelessness. That's a big fear for me, the loss of our way of life, our beautiful laws of respect, generosity, humility, and love, that we respect others by listening to them, by being part of their life, sincerely being with them when they're in front of us. Exchange ideas, thoughts, beliefs, be supportive. Can't think of a bigger form of respect than listening and being supportive of another human being. Support them. That way of being humble, not putting yourself above people. Don't put yourself above people. You do that, you can hurt them. I think of that humility, when we lose that, that's when we can turn on others. Same as when we lose respect. If we don't respect ourselves, how are we going to respect others? And, you know, we're starting to see that lack of respect for Mother Earth. And what Mother Earth does is react to disrespectful actions. So humility. Don't put yourself above people. Another law I'll mention is love, which is a commitment. You commit yourself to another individual. I'll be part of your life. I'll share. I'll help. I'll be supportive. I'll teach. Commit to that. And then good feelings happen between people when there's a sincere commitment. That's love. So I started to understand this, that I could achieve this. And then one of the things I needed was teachers and healers. The teachers were there. The elders that knew our way of life, that lived it, that I need to go spend time with them in a respectful manner. Oh, I got good teachings by going sitting with elders when I was 27 and playing cribbage with them, drinking tea. I didn't even have to ask them for topics they were telling me, sharing stories, telling me how it used to be. They were teaching me. I could see the respect I had for them. Then they became generous. Oh, just give, give, give. When they see I was insincere and wanting indigenous teachings, indigenous knowledge. Oh, it was so. Because there'd be laughter and tears because we're ourselves when we're with each other. We're sincere when we're with each other. There's no game playing here. With those elders that I went to for teachings that were teachers. Not all elders are teachers or educators. Educate means to lead. Not everyone feels comfortable leading another to knowledge or the way of knowing how. So those teachers and healers are precious for our people. We need them to role model for us, to teach us, to lead us. So I had these wonderful teachers and they role modeled, they lived, they walked the talk. They were generous, they were kind, they were respectful. They were humble. And they loved me. I'd watch them in ceremony, you know, helping the people. Oh, so sincere, so 100% they believed in the medicine and the ways of our people. Never stopped. You know, I have friends that are like that. Nothing seems to stop them. One of my friends had a stroke and he's still there doing ceremony. And also that teaching, as teachers, started to show me inner peace, that's a goal. And one of our methods of doing that was initiation. They would take youngsters. This was a requirement that says your indigenous, this is the way life is. They take them and they hit puberty, you know, they become young women and young men. They take them and isolate them, take away their food and water, and they're in a vision quest to see what they're going to do with their life, how they're to do it, how they're to live. And they get the reality check. Because I can have children now, I must become serious in ways. You know, be respectful. When I say serious, it's not like a glum thing all the time, you know. Oh, I've had so much laughter healing, and we're getting together talking about addictions or about residential school, and we're in our circles or in our ceremonies. Oh, people are rolling around laughing. We do that for each other, that medicine. We bring that medicine to each other of laughter. It's a wonderful way. I'd learned, you know, because I do work and listen and know and believe that joy gets rid of all the stress in your body if you can have real joy or real laughter joy. It's just your body shakes and it's just releasing stress. You know, I've had those times. There's always someone that would remind us not to take things so seriously by saying something or doing something that just bring us to laughter. One of the examples I have is I was visiting this community doing workshops and sessions. We're having an evening drum circle. Oh, wonderful music. Doom, 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 singing together. Burning medicine. And somebody mentioned, oh, there's going to be an election. So we pick one person. You run for chief. I don't know how. It doesn't matter. And we keep building the story. People would say things. Yeah, you get to be the chief, you know, and you'll be taking care of the money. I said, yeah, you get your cousin to be the band manager. And he says, my cousin doesn't know anything about band management. Doesn't matter, that's your cousin, you give him a job and pay him good. You know, we're starting to laugh and telling him how to run his campaign. Told him, yeah, you make promises to the people and they'll elect you. But then you hire your friends and relatives. Take care of us. You can hire me to be the accountant. I said, I don't know accounting, but because you're my friend, you can hire me. So we're doing all that silly stuff. And then the campaign, one of them says, and you promise the people that if you vote me to be chief, you pay no more taxes. We're all laughing because we don't pay taxes under res. Anyway, we were at that moment, we're experiencing inner peace by laughing at ourselves and each other and our lot in life, not taking it so serious. So when I think of my teachers and healers, and I describe them, first thing I say, they're honorable. Oh, very dignified, proud, affectionate individuals. Affectionate. Care and love for people. Refuse to hang their head. Look you in the eye. Respond to you if you say something negative to them. In a dignified, proud manner. Honorable, always on the high road. Those ones, there's no doubt they had inner peace. That they had trained themselves, trained their mind. You know, you train your mind to be disciplined. So you don't be tempted You don't say things without thinking to hurt people. It's all about the group and about Mother Earth. To live that way is a way to have inner peace. I could tell they're real because they spoke the truth. I didn't have any doubts, these teachers and these elders and healers, that I was so fortunate to have to be in their presence. I felt accepted. There was no doubt. I didn't feel any doubt. I was taken in and taught and shared. They shared with me. They're generous with me. Kind, loving teachers. Genuine. Careful and sincere with their words. And if they made a mistake, apologize right away. Oh, I'm sorry. Because of that, I had this respect for them. These teachers are elderly men and women that would take time of their life to talk to me, feed me, teach me. So that's what I was thinking of, that I want this inner peace and bring this message to create this awareness that we can do this, that we can be grounded, feel solid. I've shared times I was grounded, you know, and it's becoming more frequent I feel grounded. But it used to be so rare that when I would have one, it's like, oh, you know, like I tell that story about being grounded, digging clams and cockles. It's low tide with these West Coasters. Jerry, the table's set. We're going to have a feast. So I went with them, and holy cow, they're filling up their buckets. And they, once they finished, then they started eating. They're cracking together these shellfish and eating them, laughing and having a good time. They're watching me, watching them. And one of them says, try it, Jerry. I said, oh, okay. And gave me two cockles, and holding them, and I crack them together, and one cracks, and I dig it out. And oh my gosh, it's moving. So I squeeze it, soft moving, and I pop it in my mouth, and I chew it up, and I eat it. And I had probably six of them. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there on the beach. And I can see, hear, and feel the beauty of Mother Earth and the people and the ocean and the shellfish and everything around. And it just felt so good. I was grounded at that moment, connected, compassionate. Such a wonderful feeling. Brings out that awareness where I could see, hear, touch, feel, smell. That's what inner peace does. I had inner peace, you know. It's such a wonderful gift to have. And I realize I must work for it consistently. Be careful every day how I talk, what I do. I know I got a ways to go. You know, to be like some of my teachers, I get impatient. Times I don't believe, don't trust. And I think about my teachers, they trusted me. Then I'm going to do what they're telling me. And if I don't, they'll correct me, and they're happy that I take the correction and don't pout and leave. You know, and I was thinking of this journey. First, I had to take a look at myself, you know, and be honest that I'm not a happy camper, that I don't think I'm a good person, I don't think I deserve, that I'm weak, there's something wrong with me. So I looked at myself, and that's what I was seeing. Once I saw it, and it's in my mind, and I'm aware of that, then I could start to see what caused it, to see that there's a way out, start to move that way in life. And I started to meditate. And I would get visions. I get an image of what am I supposed to do, what I'm not doing. Started to use the ceremonies. What they're meant to do is to develop me. Started to want to grow strong. in my mind, my body, my spirit, started to do that. You know, that movement meant at times leaving my community, leaving my family, to go look for help for Sahilsit. Go to the ceremony. Go to the water. Go to the sweat lodge. Do those things that are good for me. Start to talk language of change, of growing stronger every day, letting go, free myself of negativity. Use the water to wash away negativity. Use the medicines, you know, that are in the earth for me. Big realization is that I'm made up of the earth. All the foods that I eat are nourished by the earth. If it's a deer, they live off the plants of the earth and the water from the earth. And I become part of that deer. My body becomes part of that deer, part of the salmon, the vegetables, the water. I'm of the earth. And if I'm careful and sincere, I can be strong, like the salmon, like the deer. So it's looking at myself, my mind, my body, my spirit. Check it out. Look for the weakness and strengthen it up. Look for the medicine to strengthen it up. Find the medicine. That's my journey to inner peace. And I'm so glad I embraced that journey. This is 2024 now, and I'm going to be 75. I was looking at the stages from 0 to 25, what my life was then. A mixture of inner peace and a lot of nightmares, a lot of doubt, a lot of feeling crazy. No hope, hopeless, even though it was not good. But, you know, there was a lot of goodness in there. I started to see ceremony, hear traditional music, know about medicines. But after I hit 25 and started to head towards 50, it seemed to pick up at a higher pace. Now I'm actually building a sweat lodge. I'm picking medicine. I'm picking food. I'm growing food. I'm helping others. I'm helping myself. It's changed from 25 to 50. 50 before, this shortly before 50, I started running marathons. I started to take care of my body at another level. I'd been going to sweat lodges consistently. From 25 on, 27, till today. It's a consistent ceremony for me, smudge bowl. Breathing in the medicine. The medicine's helped me with inner peace. This is medicine for my body. The medicine comes from the earth, and there's medicine, and they say, that, as told, there's medicine from the earth for every organ in our body. So when I breathe in the medicine, it's helping an organ in my body. It's helping my spirit. Then 50 on to till today, slowed down. Most of my teachers left to the spirit world, started this work in a different way. There were still times of loneliness and what am I doing, doubt. But they didn't last as long, and I started to feel inner peace on a more frequent basis. You know, it became part of my life. And I'm glad, because when you look at the 0 to 25, it was hurting and suffering. At times, it's impossible for it to be 24/7. There was tears in there and laughter and joy. Now I don't drink or do drugs or swear at people. Try to be like those elder teachers I was describing. Honorable, dignified, proud, affectionate. Speaking the truth. Genuine, generous, sincere, respected. That's the goal for Sahilsit. Inner peace thieves, I believe they got their due somehow, somewhere. If not them, their family did. So I don't worry about that anymore. Don't want revenge, or even like what people would say is justice. But just accept that happened and let, and I, my, because of my belief system, there's not, I don't need to do anything because they'll be taken care of in this life or the next life. That's my belief. And it helps me with my inner peace. So 2024, you know, 2023, I started doing way more ceremonies. An elder, Chilcotin elder, reminded me during the year, he said, you know, we talk about ceremony, we talk about thanking for food, we talk about it. We don't do it. So I made up my mind, I'm gonna talk about it, but I'm gonna do it. So whenever I do a presentation, now there's a ceremony that'll go along with that presentation. Even if it's a short one, there's going to be ceremony. It's going to be a ritual about helping ourselves and helping each other, respecting Mother Earth. So that's where I've come to now with my inner peace. Not so much talking about it, but doing it. So I'd encourage you to think about this inner peace. That part of it, a lot of part of it took training, like me running every day when I could run, was training me to be strong, to have my willpower, to sweat lodge, meant cutting wood, you know, building the lodge, doing those things was part of it. Some people would say sacrifice. I say, no, it's payment for inner peace. The inner peace is a beautiful place to be. That beauty way of life. So Sahilthit is going to look for people that have inner peace this year and talk to them. And I imagine there'll be healers and people working on the land, land-based healing, and maybe sports people. I don't know. It's going to be an adventure. But I want to learn more about inner peace. I know my inner peace, but maybe more about sharing with people how to achieve this. Because we all have our individual blocks. We're lost in different ways. My belief is that there's common ways to achieve this. And that what's required is we find a way to communicate it to the people. Because communication, positive communication, develops positive relationships. And we all suffer and we all make mistakes. So let's work together for inner peace. There's enough hate in the world. Once you hate someone and express it, hate will come back to you. When you send out goodness, goodness comes back. So let's work at that this year, inner peace. And when we achieve that, other people will be peaceful around us. That's the hope, you know. That's the mission. So I'm positive that that's going to happen. Partly by necessity. Too much negativity, no. So I'd just like to thank you for coming to Teachings in the Air and invite you to come back when we, the next episode of Inner Peace. They say Kukstumkalap in my language. Kukstumkalap and Shtuknukwa. I'm thanking you, my friends and relatives. In Statliamwe, there's no pronouns. It's just thanking you. And you're either my friend or my relative. And that's good. Bye-bye.
Keep me waiting where we plan to meet. I'm not usually patient, but your heart is so sweet. There are so many things I said I'd never do, but my darling, I'll wait any time for you. And you love to mingle with strangers and friends. as my blankets in bed. There are so many things I said I'd never do, but my darling, I'll go anywhere with you. And you have a taste for the finer things, but I live life by, oh, the simplest of means. There are so many things I said I'd never do, but my darling, I'll buy anything for you. That brought me to life, and I never dreamed that was something I would find. There are so many things I said.
Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM, talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role-playing, silent crimes broken. Very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
This is Bird Note. Parrots. On ships, it seems nearly every pirate captain in the movies had one. But the parrot in this story recently went to sea on her own. Hari, a beautiful rose-breasted cockatoo, or gala as they are best known, set off unseen on a cruise ship from Brisbane, Australia. The colorful 15-inch long bird was discovered 1,400 miles later as the ship neared New Zealand. The authorities wanted no part of Hari, although lovely to look at, with rosy pink underparts, pale pink crest, and a silver back. Galahs aren't native to New Zealand. In their Australian homeland, they form huge flocks that make farmers' lives miserable. The authorities gave the cruise officers two choices: keep Hari well secured on board, or euthanize her. The ship's officers opted to keep a close eye on Hari, and she lived a contented life in a deluxe cabin for the remainder of the 14-day cruise. One of the quarantine officers discovered that Hari had an embedded microchip ID. So when the ship docked in Australia, Hari's grateful family was able to greet her as she was escorted off. The stowaway cockatoo was none the worse for wear, except, as the cruise ship captain acknowledged, like all passengers, she's gained some weight. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.